also the deputy minister received the policy. Do you have other policy? Mm-hmm. The policy of
honorable member Mishlet.
We noted the policy. Can we adopt it? Is that proposal? Thank you. I'm going to do the introduction. We'll start myself by the members. We are going to introduce ourselves so that we can know each other. I'm Ellen Prince. I'm the chairperson of this committee. And I'm representing the recent case.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Mandla Isaac-Khai. I am a member of the Select Committee and I represent the Eastern Cape.
Good morning. My name is
Richard
Mukang,
member of the Select
Committee
and representing
Gauteng. Good morning. My name is Kathy Gabrikasi. I'm a member of the Select Committee and I'm representing the Western Cape.
Good morning, my name is Omi Singh, member of this committee, and I'm representing KwaZulu-Natal.
Thank you, members. Honourable members, honourable minister, I'm going to give over to you to introduce your team, present. Over to you, minister. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Some might not speak in this meeting, so I'll present that they quickly introduce themselves. So I'll start by introducing myself. I'm the Minister of Communications. Okay. And then, sorry, you can start.
Good morning. My name is Mary Frey. I'm from the Department of Communications, Office of the Director General.
Good morning, members, honorable members. My name is Donald Dikoko. I'm the acting director general for the Department of Communications.
Good morning, members. My name is Ni Bolokhwabe. I'm the deputy director general responsible for intergovernmental coordination and stakeholder management. That also includes our provincial offices.
Good morning, members. My name is Norman Jarewe. I am in the Minister's office, responsible for policy research and edit oversight. Thank you.
Morning, honorable members. My name is Saudi Mosene. I'm the COO of the SADC.
Morning, honorable members. I'm from Yunus, from the SADC. I'm the acting PCO.
Good morning, honorable members. My name is James Aguma. I'm the acting CFO of the SADC.
Good morning, honorable members. My name is Pumla Williams. I'm the DG of Governance, and it is a pleasure to come and present yourselves. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Good morning. My name is Harold Maloka. I'm the DDG for Content Development and Processing in the Department of Communications.
Good morning, honorable members.
Good morning, honorable members. I'm the CFO for the Department of Communications.
Good morning, Chairperson, members, and Madam Minister. My name is Michael Kelly. I work at the Department of Communication. I'm the Chief Director of Provincial and Local Behavior, the Provincial and District Offices for my three responsibilities. Thank you, Chair.
Good morning,
honorable
members and Minister. My name is Lucien Kodifa, CEO of MTDA.
Good morning, Chairperson, honorable members, Minister. My name is Peter Curtis. I'm from ICASA.
Good morning, members. My name is Lillian Parker. I'm the Chief Information Officer with Feelings and Publication Office.
Good morning, Chairperson. My name is Nicole Shiba. I'm the Chief Operating Officer of Feelings and Publication.
Can my
officials?
Thank the Honorable Chair. Igamalam Mengu Emmanuel Moshankosi Mlambo, ilunga lekomiti elibambe eGauteng.
Is there any other officials of the department? Can I give over to the support staff to intervene and any other members present?
Good morning, Honorable Members, Honorable Minister and everyone. My name is Loli Sibisi, I am the Committee Secretary of the State.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Erika Kata Nikunin and I am the Committee. Good morning, everybody. I am Yolanda and I am the Secretary of the State.
Yes. Thank you. Honorable Nyambi, good morning. Can you introduce yourself, please?
Good morning, everybody. My name is Jomo Nyambo from Kumala Province.
I think we can start, Honorable Minister, with your presentation in introduction, background of where your department, so that we can get understanding. As we all know, it's a new department, and understandable that you have to begin on like fresh start on your own. It's a new department. So I'm going to give over to you so that you can take us. Honorable Minister, can you give me a minute? Honorable
Hyde, do you want to say something? Yeah, thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Before the Minister can make the presentation, I would like to raise concern. The members of the committee. This has been going on, the submission of a document to members so that they can prepare, so that they can ask questions, they can engage, is becoming a problem. The matter that we've been raising and is the matter which that raised some of us are coming from the programming meeting. We are being now bombarded with a lot of documents as we speak. We don't even have the time to look at the documents. The first document I received was from the department of yesterday while I was in another committee meeting. I could only browse through last night because I only arrived at home after 8. So I could just browse through those documents that I received from it. The one from Rand, the South Africa Community is with ACID. And now we're being bombarded with other documents here. And there's no space for us to even engage, or to even look at those, let alone perusing those documents. We've got piles of documents in front of us that we've not been able to engage.
Thank you, Member. We noted your concern. Minister, it is a concern. We raised it with all the departments. And we understand the department that in the past, because it is so that members is here to ask questions, part of our role, and by doing so, we need a document in advance of 10 days, the standing room. We like to ask you, as the department, to really in future look into this matter and to make sure that we receive the document in time, so that we have a tough schedule. We don't have time. Like the Honorable Minister was saying, she knows that the NCOP worked very hard. And we are less members here, and we are working extra hard. So please, in future, see to this problem. Thank you. Over to you, Minister.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chair. Also share the sentiments of the members. If we need a robust engagement, really documents should have been submitted to the members in time, and now I would like to unconditionally apologize and assure the committee that this will never recur, because our understanding needs to hold us accountable to the executive, and we are only able to do that when documents are submitted to your time. But nevertheless, thank you, President and Honorable Members, for giving us this opportunity
to appraise the committee about the establishment of this new Department of Communications since the proclamation by the President, and also to present the overview of the department and its entities annual report to this select committee. You recall, honorable members, that on the 25th of May 2014, the President of the Republic of South Africa announced the establishment of a new Ministry of Communication. To recap, the ministry is responsible for the overarching communication policy and strategy, information dissemination and publicity, as well as the branding and promoting of their country abroad. The proclamation performance established the Department of Communication was published on the 7th of July 2014. Honorable members, I wish to indicate to you that the GCI has ceased to exist from the 1st of October 2014. The former GCI structure became the startup organizational structure of the new department. The startup structure aims to support the new mandate of the department by optimizing and synchronizing execution of activities and ensuring that related functions, processes and activities which attempt to achieve the same results are grouped together in different business units. The department will embark upon a fair and sound migration process to transfer employees into the new department to be completed by the end of March 2015. We need to assure honorable members that no employee will be left worse off. Then the department will also work with the Department of Public Service and Administration in migrating the employees to this new structure. And then the department is now made up of the following programs. Number one is corporate services, which is responsible for provision of specialist advice on legal, finance, administration, communication and information technology management issues. The second branch is content processing and dissemination, that is responsible for dissemination of information to the general public. And the third one is intergovernmental coordination and stakeholder management, that is responsible for leveraging stakeholders in support of the department's program. And the new one that will be given is the policy research and entity oversight that will be responsible for the alignment of the corporate strategies of the state-owned entities reporting to the department with government strategic intent, as well as to monitor and evaluate their financial and operational performance. The following entities now report to the Minister of Communication, as he has heard the colleagues introducing the charge. It's the Films and Publication Board that used to previously report to the Department of Home Affairs, the Media Development and Diversity Agency, MDA, that used to report to the Presidency, the Bank of South Africa previously reporting to the Presidency as well, South African Broadcasting Corporation, which used to report to the previously then DOC, and then the Internet Communication Authority, which also used to report to the then DOC. The entities will present the annual report accordingly. But before that, I felt we need to highlight the following all the entities under this ministry reflect the satisfactory 2013-14 performance report. In order to satisfy demands and expectations of the committee, entities report reflecting provincial key progress will be finished to the committee within 2 weeks. We have been doing easy business since we office, and then ourselves together with the entities reporting to the department have been engaging with communities in various provinces on a weekly basis. In terms of the audit finding by the AG, the Films and Publication Board obtained an unqualified audit report with metals of expenses, and then details obtained an unqualified audit report with metals of expenses, and the Brand SA obtained an unqualified audit opinion. SADC has moved from the disclaimer in 2013 to a qualified audit opinion. MDPA received a clean audit for 11 years in succession, and ICASA received an unqualified audit opinion. The DOC commits to work closely with the board of all entities to ensure that matters raised by the AG are addressed. The department has also made provision in the approved startup organizational structure for a dedicated branch to provide oversight and monitoring of entities. Noting that the department is a fairly new department, the following would be disputed.
we are going to engage with the chairperson of the board and the Kata Council to provide a comprehensive program of action towards addressing the audit findings. Progress reports on the program of action are going to be standing items on ministers bilateral meetings between the entities. We are going also to launch an operation plan for this program and work with the AG in this regard. We also since established the department and the task team to address the findings and the reports to the minister on a quarterly basis. And then we are going to hold a joint strategic planning session between the department and foreign entities to ensure that the program alignment with the new mandate of the department is achieved. Chairperson and honorable members, I want to present that the process to identify provincial key projects of interest to the committee is already underway, of which GCI has already completed two. We can leave you with the copy, and then for the rest of the entities, the committee will receive the report on the 17th of November. I thank you.
Thank you, honorable member. Thank you for the background. I think our further ado, I think we now have a better understanding. And I think that's why we are going to allow the entities to keep us a brief summary now, not in detail, because I think we need more time to really engage with the entities to have a deeper understanding of the entities. So I'm going to allow you to take us through. Try to summarize the shortly because we still have this much time so that we can have an understanding of the previous requirements, what it is. Because 8 minutes was saying that they only started in the 1st October before they were not be able to check us through the annual report and account for the legacy report.
Yes, we'll start followed by AABC and Brian SM, MCA, Looks and Publication Board, and then lastly, the
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Minister. Thank you, Chairperson, honorable members. we'll be quite brief in terms of giving the overview of the annual reports and some of the performance indicators that speak to what we have achieved. As the Minister pointed out, the last annual report that you will see that speaks to GCIS, the reason why you see all of us here with the entities is because we have embraced this opportunity to work together to optimize and really get the best out of governance communication infrastructure. So the work has begun, and as the Minister has indicated, even at the level of strategic planning, we've started to consult each other to make sure that our work is more closely aligned. In terms of the outline, I will just touch on the mandate, the vision, the mission, and some of the key strategic objectives. And the respective DDGs will just touch on the key highlights. We won't go through every slide, but really just to give you a sense of what it is that each of those branches actually do. I think the primary role of the GCIS as it was then was to provide strategic leadership in government communication, and this is done through coordinating the communication system for government to ensure the public is informed about the work of the government. This has received additional energy now that we, under the leadership of Minister Mtambi, it has really allowed us to consolidate some of the gains and to focus on areas of improvement that we can work on moving forward. The priority, and when we spoke about, when the Minister touched on that there's a hack that you can look at later, it's really about making sure that we drive a coherent message across the three seats. So it's not just about addressing national messaging, it's about actually making sure that those programs and initiatives live on the ground
first of all. It's about proactively communicating with the public about government policies, plans that we have, and entire machinery that really speaks to setting the agenda in the country. So when we talk about taking the executive to the people, that's our program around the Asian visa. It's a very successful program, and we'll get into more detail on that at a later point. The other aspect that we might gloss over is that the organization also does a fair amount of training. Most of the government communicators are upskilled by GCIS members who have acquired experience over the years and are able to transfer some of that learning to government communicators. And I think as well the other area that we've brought into play is an ability to place advertising on behalf of government at discounted pricing, so that we're starting to see some saving brought into government procurement. I'm quite glad to say that we are joined here by the chairperson from the MBDA, as well as the acting CEO. I won't steal their thunder, other than to point out that we work exceptionally closely with MBDA in implementing our mandate, specifically as it relates to communicating with through local publications, community newspapers, as well as the work that is done with community radio and now community television. So what really drives us, the vision and the reason why we all go to work every day is to ensure that we become the pulse of communication excellence in government. And this is not just speaking to Department of Communications, but it's an all-embracing vision for all communicators in government system. Our role is to really infuse them and energize them around the work of communicating government programs to citizens. The blue circle in the middle really talks to the strategic outcomes. What drives the goals of the operation. So all of our work is centered on making sure that we provide a coherent, responsive and cost-effective communication service for all government workers. And we do this by building people, which is the training aspect. We talk about our products, our publications, and a reliable knowledge base. Research has been one of the key drivers to what we do, because the work that we develop in several communities is research-based. The newer component there speaks to this whole idea of creating an effective marketing and advertising agency for government, and that work is being enhanced now by collaboration with Press South Africa. I just wanted to move on to the highlights because I'd like to give the DDG an opportunity to flesh on the initial agenda by pointing out just a few of the main successes that we had in the year that has just gone by. The first one was the communication support for the state funeral of the former president, Nelson Mandela. This was a mammoth task. It was a first for us as a country. Most definitely in a democratic South Africa, we had not had any such occurrence before. And to coordinate not only the local media, but also the international media to make sure that we protected the country's reputation and gave the best possible perspective on this country was for us quite a coup. But we also worked on the communication strategy. We spearheaded the 20 years of freedom campaigns. I'm sure you've seen the logos and there's been lots of activity around the country around 20 years of freedom. Another aspect of our engagement has been to really work a lot closer with the SADC countries. In as much as we are taking on this responsibility of ensuring that all communicators in government are at the cutting edge, we are also working quite closely with our sister countries in the SADC region to share ideas and to help them build capacity so that their governments are able to communicate to their respective citizens. I think one of the disciplines that we have upheld in the organization is this sense of accountability. And when we reflect on the year that has just gone, One of the key issues that we were most proud of was the fact that we had an unqualified OT port. This was no mean feat, given that the organization is quite large. It spans all 9 provinces. It's a complex organization to manage. But I'm quite happy to say, and I will acknowledge the CFO, Mr. Monica, who is here with us today, that this is one of the key aspects that we achieved. The little red block at the bottom really talks to the targets, and it speaks to the sense of discipline in the organization. So you can see there that 93% of the targets were met, and we'll engage on the 7% of the targets that were not achieved in the slides that will follow. With those few words, I will hand over to DDG Maluka to give the highlights of the content and content processing and dissemination.
Thank you very much. In the same vein, in brief, we do definitely, as Donald has said, that we are doing a lot of private research to sort of make sure that some of the content that we churn out is quite targeted and is able to respond to the needs of people. In the next slide, it speaks to the products that we have produced. We continue to produce the Vuvuzela newspaper. It's been 1 million copies in a year. This gives us about 1.7 million copies per month. We would want to increase that, but obviously with budget constraints, we're unable to. But that has proven to be quite a popular publication, particularly in those areas where the newspapers are not reaching those particular areas. We also have a public sector magazine that is distributed in the public sector and beyond. And we also have a quarterly publication called Capcoms that is also distributed every quarter simultaneously with the public sector magazine. And also in the next slide, this basically speaks to the platform that we're in, we've embraced the new technology, and we try by all means to make sure that we follow trends in society, because most people are starting to move into your social media, they're moving into websites, people can be able to have more access to content by their cell phones, so we are migrating our content so that we're able to reach more people. Fortunately, some of these are price free, they're not expensive. To have a Twitter account, you don't need to have a graduate secretary, you just need to have somebody to manage it so that you have live messages going out. And we're doing it quite well. We also put a professional photo library on Flickr. We put videos on YouTube so that people who miss what could have been on the news, that we catch ourselves and put it onto the next slide. This is also speaks to the news that we produce via the radio. And we have radio news that we distribute particularly to community media. And also SA News, where we give them also a written source. And we channel quite a lot of content from there. We have also worked previously with newspapers to produce supplements so we can add a lot of content to people. We monitor media. We also make sure that we issue newsletters on some of the research insights, complex research insights that people can be able to understand, particularly those that use it. In the next slide, this is the by the time we close the annual report, the deadline for submission of the stories of the Mian landscape book. We had a first edition that we issued, which was the 2012, which is a reflection on how far the media has gone. We're now in the process of analyzing the one that deals with a reflection of the past 20 years of how far we've gone in the media, what has been the new trends, what has been the new new development. So,
thank you very much, Honorable. I'm confused. You see, what Honorable Kai has raised, this thing of receiving documents late. We don't know why the DG is ready. I'm lost.
Okay, please make sure. I do understand your problem. I think when you start taking us through this, I just want to say which documents are you going to refer.
Okay. the same document that Donald started with, the annual report presentation. It's 2013-2014 annual report.
Sorry, I don't want you to zoom. Can we assist each other so that we don't? I don't want this to become a crisis now. Please, make sure that all members. This report, the heading corresponds to what you say, but the content doesn't correspond. Okay, so we don't have that report. What we have is this report. And programs with content precision and destination, that's the heading. But the content is not the same.
Thank you very much. My apologies. We started with the presentation of the annual report, which is on screen, and we realized the presentation of the annual report is not distributed. The one that is distributed is the midterm report, and it is what the members have gone through, which is going to be the midterm of this particular financial year, because we are closing the old financial year as per indication. So let me speak to the one that the document that honorable members have gone through. I apologize. Thank you very much. The person has the first slide. It speaks to what was managed during the past 6 months. In the past 6 months, we needed to issue six editions of the Vuvuzela newspaper, and we have achieved that. That remains on track. Also, with regard to the Braille version that we normally distribute simultaneously with the book, with the newspaper itself, that has already been done. And as I indicated earlier when I was making the other one, I also spoke about the fact that GovComs is a quarterly publication, so we had two editions that we needed to issue, which is already on track. And on the next slide, the one that starts with the government dialogue newsletters, we're expected to produce 4, and we're doing 12 in a year. And then we've already done 4, we're also on track on that one. But with regard to number of editions of public sector magazine, we also remain on track as the 6th edition. And also on issuing daily news and key on government programs, we continuously issue that. As I indicated, we distribute them to the media, the community media, and also the national media. It's in the same program that we also produce opinion pieces in some areas. On the yearbook itself, we have already. This was a bit delayed. This was precisely because of some of the capacity challenges that we have had. And some of the vacancies, so we have managed but outside the period that we had expected to publish, but that since by now we've already made the publication, we've already printed this version of this financial year. With regard to the language services, we do receive we do translate the Vuvuzela newspaper into different languages. We also ask departments on some of the programs that are running that they need publications to be translated in different languages, so we do handle those. That includes editing services and also making sure that the publications they speak the language that people can understand. In the next slide, we talk about holding workshops, particularly with board managers. These are people who manage government websites. We try to make sure that we share notes to improve them, and we achieve some level of consistency in terms of the output that we put out. We have held a first workshop in May, and then the other one is in this period that we're in, and we just held it actually in the previous week. On the issue of reporting and presentation of online reputation management, we're expecting 2 quarterly reports, and that also remains on track. This is just to check as to what has been said online about us and how well we are representing, what we are presenting in the public space is in line with what people are doing. Daily posts on GSAS and social media accounts. We have, as I indicated, we try to make sure that we follow the technological development, and we make sure that we follow the numbers of people so that we can be able to be where people are and distribute much more content to them, and also become much more interactive. And the social media space is proving to be quite big. We are achieving quite high numbers of followers. We also hold what we call live chats with leaders in government. We will take a minister or deputy minister and have a live chat where we can announce earlier and say, I want to have a live chat, and have a live chat. We also have an app on Mixit, and that also allows us to post more information, and we've had those quite consistent. Next slide. In the policy of research, we were supposed to have printed about 2 newsletters. We have posted 1. They were already drafted, but they were referred back because they needed fair refinement because these are complex research contents, and if it's not understood by a person who is not used to interpreting research, they may end up communicating the wrong message. But that target is on track, and we have a plan for recovery of that. And the number of cluster reports, and that we also make sure that at every twice in 6 months we update the clusters about how they are perceived in the public space, whether in the media and also in the research itself, how people are doing. We also produce the Part of the Nation research, which gives us the research insights on how the nation views the work of government. A number of reports on government communication monitoring produced. We're quite happy we introduced in the last financial year government communication monitoring. And it was a new section, and we have now began to be able to try to monitor whether the rest of your committed ourselves inside the department is being done, and that the reports are being produced, and we're definitely on track on the on that one. Next slide. On the media landscape, the media landscape, the copy that I spoke about that we're busy with for the 20 years right now, we have the book is late, and but we're expecting that in the last quarter we should have already completed that and printed it. We had received the chapters, but we had a challenge. The 2012 one that was meant to be published in 2012 was only published in 2013. It seems like might have underestimated the fact that because we're asking people to go and write, and we're looking at different people in society, which are not necessarily within our control, they delayed us, but ultimately we're happy we managed to produce that one, and we remain on track as we speak right now. The one on the 20 years is already going through the approval processes. On the issue of key messages, we do write key messages for all departments to ensure that government speaks in one voice and speaks consistently, and that we remain on track on that one. Next one. On the opinion pieces, we try to make sure that in the public discourse, government also has a voice through different ministers. In the opinion pieces pages, we are also putting perspective of government on some of the messages that government is engaged in. That's right. On the public sector forums, we're meant to have 5 in this 6 months, but we managed to only have 4. And this was also due to an availability of speakers. I don't think it's much of a change match, because this is the same period at which we had elections. And obviously we lost about 2 to 3 months to be able to have an additional one. But we remain on track. That's the only one we managed to miss. On the print and electronic products produced and distributed by GCIS, our main distribution is the distribution of Vuguz and Zera newspapers, and from time to time, if there's anything that we need to distribute, we come and distribute. And in this period, we also had to do a distribution of the Nelson Mandela Portrait Coffee Table book, which was an important parcel of commemoration of the passing of our former state president. And on the last one is a number of corporate identity workshops that we have done. We remain on course as well. Thank you very much, Chair. And over to the next.
Thank you. Can we immediately go over to the next?
Thank you, Chair. Honorable members, I'm going to take you through the program 3, intergovernmental coordination and stakeholder management, just to indicate that we have achieved all our targets for the two semesters. And there had been some over achievement. The first target was the reports on the functioning of the intergovernmental communication system at national, provincial, and local government. We had to produce 2 quarterly reports once a quarter, and those reports were submitted. And those reports talk about how the system is operating, what are the system at local level, how are we working with the cluster, how are we working with the provinces. The next target is the number of development communications activations that are aligned to the government program of action. We did 1,800 development communications activations. The target was the annual target is 1.8. We did 1,096. We achieved overachieved by 192. Just to also indicate to the members was that the reason there was an overachievement is that during this year, and even including last year, we had when we do rapid response every day without fail, from about half past 3, the teams are actually looking at the newspapers to analyze what is happening in the media, and then around about 6 o'clock we get an SMS that gives the highlights of the stories in the media. And then half past, from that time, the team look at the issues, and half past 8, every day we meet, we look at these issues, and then we look at what interventions can be done. For instance, today, something we have just received a note to say that the court ruling in, I think, where these two children were killed in the Deep Sewers, yes, and the judgment has been made. I don't know what judgment is, and we've already issued a statement on behalf of government welcoming the judgment and the like. So these are the things that we are doing. And when we do that, we then, in some cases, there are things that we have to communicate to the provinces and the municipalities so that they are also part of the rapid response system. But also, the number of these activations, we do a lot of activations where our communities, our teams at provincial level, they do have events happening at the town halls, at the city ranks, and also including the Evening Visa, because it's important and critical that government engages with the public. The other important thing about this overachievement and the number of these activations is that during the inauguration, we worked a lot to promote the inauguration. I think that's that. The other thing that we have done is the number of marketing events for the Tucson Service Fetters members. I just want to say, for the first time this year, the as part of the public service month, the Batupe month, we have included the Tucson Service Week as part of public service month. And the week this month, this year, was from the 14th to the 19th of September. And we had about more than 90 events across the Tucson Service Centers using community media, where our minister opened the week and people are being encouraged to use the Tucson Service Centers. What are they? But because also during that month there was the Heritage Month, and remember the theme for the Heritage Month was Tell Your Story. We used the event also for the beneficiaries of the Tucson Service Centers to come and tell their stories of how the program has helped them. And had more than 90 stories from the beneficiaries about the program. We then also have the my district today, which is an electronic newsletter that is being distributed to decision makers at local level, but also even at national level. We are sharing it with the stakeholders, and these are the stories of what government is doing at local government level. And I'm making a dangerous assumption that the members are actually receiving my district today. And the other thing is that we did extra time because of the Mandela Month, but also because of the inauguration. We had special editions for those two events. The next program, the next target is the number of community and stakeholder liaisons are undertaken. The target, the annual target is 2.4. We held 1,246. And we had actually overachieved this target, as I indicated earlier, largely because of the rapid response issues that come from the rapid response, and then our team will then go to the community, to the municipalities to engage further, so that we are as one government coming up with solutions to address the issues that are being raised, but also to make sure that we have key messages and one message is being communicated. The reports on Izimbizo, we have 119 Izimbizo were held during this flood, and we generated the report which was shared with our minister. Another indicator is the stakeholder engagement. We're supposed to have four. We held, the annual target is four. We held three in the 2010, and there was an overachievement. But again, it's because of the programs and the projects that we are running and engaging with extra stakeholders. The next indicator is the post-cabinet media briefings, and this is for the sub-program and media engagement. The post-cabinet media briefings, we coordinated six post-cabinet media briefings where statements were read by our political principals. The Government Communicators Forum, we are supposed to have two forums per year, and for this two terms, we had one, so we were able to achieve our target. And what is happening at the GCF, we actually engage with communicators from across national and provincial departments, so we check best practices. But the purpose of this, we are actually sharing with them the National Communication Strategy, which was approved by Cabinet in June. So we need to make sure that they get an understanding of what the strategy says, and the strategic framework says, so that they can be able to develop their own developmental communication strategies aligned to the framework. The annual strategic engagement between political principals, the South African National Interest Forum, and the SEA, as well as the PGA, for the first time, the Deputy President this year, after the budget vote of the presidency, we had a session where he was actually unpacking the budget vote of the presidency to the Press Gallery Association here in Cape Town, but also the Minister of Trade and Industry also engaged with the Foreign Correspondent Association and taking 20 years of freedom and the National Development Plan. And then the biannual engagement between communicators and senior officials, we held this and so that as also part of the planning our work. And then the rapid response that I talked about earlier on, every day after our meeting we generate a report, and then every second week we send the report to our minister. What we have done now also, that report is also shared with the Interministerial Committee on the Information and Publicity. The communication guidelines on cross-cutting parliamentary questions, and members do know that a lot of questions are generated from parliament, and in cases where one question is asked different departments, we actually are giving a guidance on how to answer what other things are, so that we shouldn't have contradicting statements and contradicting messages from different ministers and ministers. The cluster supervision is another sub-program. What the team does is to review the implementation of the internal communications plan. Chairperson, one of the key critical things that we know is important is it is not our responsibility that we only have to focus with the public outside of government. It is also important for the public servants to know exactly what government is doing, what are the programs that have been driven, and so this forum is for their particular reason, so that they share the same messages and they also know and can, with confidence, also talk about the programs of government. So we make sure that we inform them about government programs. The last two is the development of a national communications, development of communication strategies, so that they are aligned to the national communication strategic framework, as I had indicated on before. That 28 communication strategies were developed and presented, were developed and they were presented, and the stakeholder engagement. 11 stakeholder engagements were held against the midterm, and there were more by 9, largely because of, among others, Chairperson. During this period, you might remember, we had the water, remember there were issues about water in Limpopo, in KwaZulu-Natal, even in Gauteng, but other provinces. What we then did, we established a war room, the water operations war room, where we worked with the Department of Water, the COCTA and SALGA, and it was coordinated from our office so that we can have key messages and guide and also go and understand what are the issues and make communications interventions with regards to those issues. And that is my presentation. Thank you very much, Chair.
I think we are moving to the next presentation.
Thank you, Jeff. I would say, in the interest of time, that in the next program, Program 4, as you know, we provide photography, video, and we do designs, and we also provide for media buying campaigns. And all of those campaigns are on track, and if there are specific questions on that program, I can take them and then hand over to administration so that I can deal with whether our areas, the gray areas.
Thanks very much, Harold. And my area of work is around governance, basically taking you through the finance, the HR, the IT, the internal audit, and the strategic planning. And I wanted to just start off just in the interest of saving time that if you look at our presentation, in all the 25 performance targets, delegate honorable members, we are on track on almost all of them. So I will not be able to take you through each one of them, but I just wanted to highlight a few things. But the first one important thing that I would want to highlight in the administration is the financial expenditure, which is something that a lot of government departments battle with. You find that they are either on track in performance, but they are below in as far as expenditure. But in this particular report, we were quite excited ourselves, is that we are on track on both. We are on track on the performance of the department in meeting its target, but equally we are on track in as far as the expenditure. You will note early later in our expenditure report, we are on 49% expenditure, which then tells you something about how we are very conscious in what is it that we do in terms of meeting the commitment that we have made in as far as the taxpayer's money and in as far as good value for money as we have provided that information. And I will not, honorable members, if you allow me not to take you through in each one of them, because I think we are on track on almost everything. Safe to say that we are looking forward to that by 31st of March. We will be coming back to you and with pleasing results in as far as our commitment to using the taxpayers' money. Thank you.
Thank you very much, members. As I introduced myself earlier, my name is Petan Boma, I'm the chair of the MDK board. With me is a colleague who is the acting CEO. In terms of
the minister's remarks that in the last 11 years we've actually received an unqualified civil distance in conception. We've supported 170 media projects supported across. I think the point that the minister also made earlier is that we'll provide information in relation to our own provincial friends and in terms of exactly where do we support our own, where do we support various media and project in the provinces, so that you can see the footprint that we have in provinces. The other issue that we focus on, which is called the non-financial support of the media committee media project, is fundamentally looking at how to make sure that we've given state funding to community radio stations that we provide non-financial support to either corporate governments, marketing, financial management, so that actually the stations that are established are actually quite sustainable. Now I'm getting worried that because we need to get into the specifics of the presentation, and I gave my talk to the chairman, I don't know what's going on with the presentation. I made my own. Which I think of slide 9 and slide 10 really speaks to the point I was making in relation to the non-financial support that we provide to the sector, but as well as what you call capacity development areas in the sector, but ensure that we do a bit of research in terms of understanding how the sector. I mean, we have done the transformation print media research, which is currently upcoming and launched sometime in May, which amongst the key issues that it highlights is the fact that the print media has not transformed, and in essence is that there's still, you know, people who come from previously disadvantaged communities remain excluded. We also undertake annual media learning forum with the community sector. For instance, we interact with the students at high school level to really take them through around the issue of media literacy and how to package their content around that. Coming to the actual performance, I'm going to hand over to the CEO, who will then speak from page, from slide 13, on the objective of the community media.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Honourable Members. What I will do, I'll just concentrate on the areas where we haven't achieved. So where we've achieved, I won't touch them for the sake of time. On slide 13, the problem that we have is the community media. On presentation of applications received online, we were expecting 50 applications, we have only received 44. Where the challenge is of the quality of application that we receive, because if we receive poor quality of application, we prefer that. So that's the challenge we have in that area. Also, on the area of the presentation of community media project recorded online, we still have that challenge. Then, if we go to slide number 14, small commercial media. We have met most of our targets. The last target we have not met is that the number of small commercial projects received funding from ADF. We couldn't get funding from ADF because they didn't have funds that could meet that target. Then if we go to research and training, I will touch on the target where we haven't met. It's only one target because some of them were exceeded and less than. It's the target of number of beneficiaries that underwent grant orientation. Because of budget challenges, we only have to select 41 applicant to attend that grant orientation. What we normally do on grant orientation, because what will happen, some of our application, our beneficiaries, when they do application, we find that they will have challenges after they just made an application, because what we do on when we find them, we distribute them on four tranches. So the first tranche, once the contract has been signed, we'll release the first tranche. Then the second tranche and the third and last, it will depend on their reporting. If their reporting is not according to the contract, we won't be able to refund. So the challenges there will be mostly the challenges of governance. And the issue of financial management will touch it. So what we have done so far, we've developed a toolkit on governance, also on financial management. So when we go to those country orientation, we take them through that. But what we have started to do, we need to not to do it once a year, we need to at least maybe for that, so that we get them through, because there is a challenge of resistance fire if they implement their condition. Then under monitoring and evaluation, that's slide number 16, we've met our targets on that slide. Then on the slide of human, the slide number 17, which is human resource, I will talk to the two those we have not met, the percentage of alignment to relationship and benefits. We're supposed to do a survey there. We couldn't do because what we did, we reallocated our budget because we had to source recruitment for our CEO and COO and company secretary. So those positions were critical for me to validate that we had those positions filled. Then also when you go to slide number 18, on the issue of percentage increase on the achievement of performance and promotion targets, those there were the challenges that we had to monitor our performance contract for our employees on a quarterly basis, so that we once we have done evaluation, we have them through, we need to mentor them through, so that the challenges. So, we are taking them to that, so that we do them on timely basis. Then when we move to slide number 19, that one of communication and branding. The one we have not met, the number of new entrants, when we do our program on we usually provide hours for MDA beneficiary. So we receive an application from a beneficiary that is in the target. On the next slide, number 20, risk and internal audit, we could meet our target on the risk education event, because we, at that point in time, we didn't have a risk manager. So that target was usually contacted by our financial department. But what we have done now, we have employed the officer to undertake that mandate. Then on slide number 21, financial management, we have met our target. And also receive it, because what we normally do, especially funds which we receive from broadcasters, because funding from broadcasters, their funding is regulated. We get not commanded to present of their annual turnover. If they are not turnover and proof, that's where you get the additional funding. Then what I'll do, I'll touch on the slide number 24, which will be the last one to indicate an area of concern. On our grant cost, the one which is in expenditure terms, slide number 24. On grant cost, we couldn't meet our target. There is a balance of 80 million there. That's the area where I've touched that if our beneficiary don't meet their compliance, we don't release their fund on time. So we keep their funds until they meet them. But what we do, we also help them to comply with our condition contracting. From that, that's all I think. I thank you, member.
Can we move to the next presentation? And really, can you just ask? We are going to call for a workshop because we are not doing justice by just running through the document. But I think the idea was that we come and have a summary of the highlights of the annual report. But maybe it's difficult, but if we can manage to just give us the highlights, a summary of the highlights in the annual report. Thank you. Over to the presentation. I'd like to say this. I'm going to use my mic.
mother tongue language. It seems that your house is very democratic. And you know, first impression, very much. But for me, as a senior person, I feel that really I'm not even this. And I hope it will never happen to me. Really. Because what will happen, the people will watch out the TV. And for those who give a car, we are confused and we don't know what we are doing here. And we are not playing here. We are really the government of South Africa. And we are serious of the business that we are doing here. Really, I must raise my frustration here. Thank you. Can we proceed?
Thank you. Good morning, Jefferson, honorable members, the minister, and all parents. Let me first tell apologies on behalf of our CEO and the Jefferson who could not be with us today. They are attending to our engagements with the hosting and Namibian delegation, and so that they could not be with us today. So our presentation will focus on four issues. Three. One, the performance in targets, provincial activities, and also look at our expenditure and budget for the previous financial year. So just in terms of performance, if you can please move to Jefferson, can I maybe move to that, just so I can then operate. Thank you, Jefferson. In terms of performance information, I'll focus on areas where we did not achieve our target. Because the ones that we have achieved, I think, this is explanatory, then I can answer questions if there are any. The one area where we have highlighted as has not been achieved is around the area of implementation of compliance and other activities. And this to do with the help of South African Police Services. So there's been times that we could not get their cooperation in terms of us being involved in our compliance monitoring work. Part of the problem is that you find that perhaps issues that pertain to classification are not really priority crimes for them. But considerable strides have since been made in progress in terms of formalizing our relationship with SAF, and then to date an MOU has been signed where we have agreed in terms of process and arrangements going forward so far as the police having to assist us in our compliance monitoring activities. The other area that we did not achieve 100% achievement of target was around the area of ICT technology. And if I may indicate, Jefferson, what we have come to realize is that our compliance monitoring and classification work was focused more on physical distribution of content and very less on online platforms. And I think this is precisely because we believe that the legislators, when they enacted the Films and Publications Act in 1996, they did not foresee some of the challenges that we are facing, which are brought by technological advancement. And as a result, we have had to now relook and reorganize our operations and processes to ensure that there is a greater compliance, not only in the physical distribution, but also from the online distribution side. And today, we have the likes of Apple, who are able to distribute content in the Republic. Legally so. There are other major online distributors that are also have since come aboard, the likes of Google, Altec, New Times Media, who have now are able to make available services to Africans through streaming via the internet. And this is through some of our initiatives that we embarked on in this space.
The in terms of SO4 also, we could not achieve 100% target in terms of classification and leveling, and this is also linked to issues that pertains to the online distribution of content, because primarily because at the end of the financial year we did not have online classification tools, but we have since developed the and council had approved our online content regulation strategy, which amongst others looks at the procurement of classification tools, which will then enable us to classify digital content and also labeling, so that regardless of the mode through which the public access content, there is a classification and also protection of children against some of the content that may be degrading and harmful to them. So just in terms of some of the activities which are also aligned to our mandate, in terms of provinces and so on and so forth, here we have embarked on outreach and awareness campaigns. There's also, we do a lot of work which lit across provinces in terms of our compliance monitoring. And part of this is also it stems from the rise of the self-generated content, the likes of YouTube, where the public can upload some of these video clips and some which have could be harmful to children below certain ages. So as a result, we embarked on a campaign to spread the message around cyber safety. And we have done a lot of work in this area in terms of going to schools, having workshops for parents, learners, and society as a whole, where we're preaching the messages and the importance of cyber safety and kids being aware, and most especially parents, because most of the time it is these parents who buy the smartphones, and when contracts expire, they give this to these kids who then use them for unintended purposes. So we go to school and spread the message, and we also budget a lot of money around this work. So also, we also do compliance mentoring, and here we do raids, because if you look at our legislation, it's very clear that pornography can only be accessed, as an example, can only be accessed through what we refer to as adult premises. But if you walk down some of our streets in some of our major cities, you see that this content is really available. Street workers, they sell this type of content at times with impunity. So we have strengthened our hold in this area, and we work well with the police, and we've conducted a number of raids, and to date, I can inform you that we have more than 24 suspects who are behind bars. We have found the possession of this type of content, and we've also destroyed or seized and destroyed more than 30,000 illegal DVDs and counterfeit goods. Just in terms of the provinces, as I've indicated, that our outreach program on cyber safety, which is very key to our work, is split across provinces, and you see from this slide that we tried as much as we can to cover the rest of the country in terms of going to provinces and having these type of engagements, attending public dialogues on cyber safety, health pornography, parenting the area of new media, so on and so forth. And also we have better schools and we work well with the communities around the area in terms of educating learners on the dangers of issues that relate to cyber. And then just in terms of compliance and monitoring, I must just indicate that we have since restructured the unit, which is now comprised of three regions. We have one office in KZN, one in the Western Cape, which is there. We also have another one in Gauteng. And all in all, we have employed 9 compliance monitors, and in each region, there's a regional coordinator who is the manager. So all in all, we have 12 compliance monitors across the board.
terms of the financial and the budget for the previous financial year, let me just quickly go to the summary. We received a total grant of 82 million, and we also managed to generate almost 4 million, in fact, almost 5 million in income, and this was also done through the support fee that online distributors pay. There's a fee that was granted, and online distributors are now paying to distribute content in the Republic. And then, so basically, if the slide in terms of the expenditure pattern is also self-explanatory, I would not really want to spend too much time on it unless it's the discussion. So in terms of the audit outcomes and action plan, the minister did indicate earlier that we received an unqualified audit. There were just three issues of emphasis which we have since attended to. The first one being the restatement of annual financial statement, the second one, material misstatement in the annual performance report submitted for audit, which we also addressed, and the last one being the material misstatement of accounts, payables expenditure, and also these was corrected. And this concludes my presentation. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson and members. May I proceed? Thank you, Honorable Minister. We understand our presentation to focus more on the provinces, which is the mandate of this committee, and the oversight role of this committee, so we prepared the presentation to reflect exactly that. Chairperson, I just want to say that we just know in our presentation, past fiscal, the SEC had a very good financial year. Our revenue is 7.2 billion rand, which was 8% year-on-year growth. Our expenditure grew by 4% year-on-year growth, and our profit improved by 523%. That was money to improve the revenue generation and working capital. That's just as a background. We presented this last week our financial statements and our audit results. So we're not going to do that today, so we're going to focus on the provinces as we want to do your request. Chairperson, let me start to say that the SABC's mandate is derived from the Broadcasting Act, and that clearly is to inform, empower, and educate all South Africans in all the different languages of our country, all the different official languages. So, I'm going to talk about provinces today, specifically. We have provinces throughout South Africa, in all the different provinces. And those provinces are, in actual fact, mini-SABC and it is then managed by, in terms of an oversight role by our provincial general manager. Each provincial general manager is responsible for the day-to-day running of the SDC's provinces in that area. And this ranges from youth gathering, sales and revenue generation, managing the SDC's broadcast facilities and chairperson, for your understanding that brain, that is really around our broadcast facilities for radio, for television, for news gathering and the like. You will understand, and you will also know, chairperson and honourable members, that the majority of our radio stations are based in the provinces, and they then also provide an extended news gathering operation in the mother tongue of our citizens. I've already alluded to the fact that our provincial offices serve as an important revenue generating point. TV licenses, for instance, are collected at these offices. And very importantly, our provincial general manager is also responsible to liaise with stakeholders, governments, businesses, and other industries, for us to then engage with stakeholders throughout the provinces. This is just an example of the SABC. We start there in the north of Polokwane, and then Cape Town, and throughout the country we have artists as depicted on this chart and the map of South Africa. I can come to, and this is specifically about our mandate that I already referred to, the SABC deliver a public value proposition in educating and informing and entertaining all South Africans in the 11 languages by means of 19 radio stations and 4 television channels. And our ability as the SABC to provide content in all official languages in the multiple genres ranging from children's programs, to educational programs, drama, documentaries, news and current affairs, and also very popular soapies, continue to position the SABC as the most trusted broadcast media group in South Africa. The SABC is giving special attention in this fiscal to deliver programs with sign language, producing productions from companies owned by people with disabilities, as well as production or preparing productions for people in the provinces. And we'll come back to this point, sir, because I think this is very important, because we tend to focus in Gauteng and believe that Gauteng is the only province that can produce something. And this is a specific objective, and I will touch on this, of the SBC in our 3-year plan to affect the country to itself from all the different provinces. Chairperson and honourable members, this is also in line with the National Development Plan, and that is really to involve communities, the youth, workers, and those unemployed in business and partnership with a capable state of South Africa. And the objective here is really to develop the capabilities of all individuals in the country. And the SABC has embarked on a program to also assist production companies in the different provinces to help them to start up their businesses. So we have two specific objectives that we monitor. And the statistics here reflects the year-to-date of September 2014. So the total number of news stories originating from the provinces comes to 2,700 from the various provinces. On the television side, our production of provincial content, you will see there that for the past 6 months we delivered 60 programs from the various provinces around the country, and we intend to increase this, and we will have a specific focus on this, as I said earlier. So I think this is the good news that I would like to bring to this committee. On the 27th of October, which is just 2 days ago, the SABC released its request for proposal, or the RFP book as we refer to it. The value of this RFP book is more than 600 million rand. And this RSP book, Madam Chair, the previous book, or the highest book, was 100 million rand. So this is by far the largest RSP book issued by SBC for local funding. And this is specifically to acquire local content in South Africa. This is not foreign content from any parts of the world. It is a local content only. So this is a substantial investment, and the SBC will continue to be the leading consumer of local content, and more importantly, the foremost generator of employment and development of the independent production industry. Now, Chairperson and honourable members, I've already alluded to the fact that this is not an RSP book that is exclusive to Gauteng. This is an RSP book that seeks to unearth propositions and business proposals from production companies and individuals in provinces across our country. And this will be done to ensure that the process is inclusive of all South Africans and those diverse and never-before stories, so that those diverse and never-before stories can be told. I think that we've got a country with a rich culture, but we do not reflect ourselves properly, and that is why the SDC is specific about this objective. I've already touched on this point with the quality local programs that will reflect our diverse cultures. And then, Chair, the producers and production companies from all provinces in South Africa are encouraged to submit their ideas as a way of offering a broad, vibrant local production industry outside of Johannesburg. To this extent, Chair, so it's not only lip service. We've committed to ring-fence these specifically aimed at promoting regional diversity, contributing towards job creation and empowerment of youth and black women. So a portion of this book is specifically ring-fenced as far as this is concerned. We will then also run workshops and assist production companies or individuals to assist them to submit their requests. And there's obviously a process attached to that. Chairperson, you asked that we should be brief. I thought that we are reflecting on the request from this committee. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Chair, honourable members, honourable minister. My name is Kiki Makonya. I'm the chairman of Grain South Africa, and I'm here with Mela Matola, who is the CEO of Grain South Africa. And it addresses what the objectives are. And we do this to make sure that we
get greater impact and effectiveness both locally and internationally. The mandate is overarching communication policy and strategy, information dissemination and publicity, as well as branding of the country. And we are also part of the Interministerial Communications, Interministerial Committee on Information and Publicity. This slide will give an overview of our mandate and our strategy. As I said, the objectives are underpinned by the mandates are underpinned by the objectives of the NDP, which seeks to address economic growth and employment, to position South Africa in the region, in the continent, and globally. And also, a big part which is part of the local and domestic mobilization is the nation building and social cohesion. We do this then by undertaking certain initiatives. So in the international platform, we seek to build South Africa's nation brand reputation to contribute to South Africa's global competitiveness. And domestically, we inspire and instill active citizenry among South Africans. So on the international platform, we would look for outcomes that talk to best messaging and brand alignment by key stakeholders. That means now if all the stakeholders are promoting themselves internationally, they must promote themselves in a cohesive manner under one umbrella brand, which is uniform, which is a nation brand, as opposed to segmented approaches to the international investor community. And we find that in provinces, for instance, they would engage with the international markets by themselves, but the message still needs to be coordinated. We also seek to position South Africa as a destination for business and investment amongst the international and domestic audiences. Whenever we seek investors to come and invest, which we will look to increasing the economy, creating employment, reducing poverty, we compete with other emerging markets. So it's important that we all pull together to position South Africa as a destination of choice for investors. On the domestic front, we talk to pride and patriotism and active citizenship among South Africans and building a sustainable organization. The strategies that we will embark on will talk to brand development and management, reputation management, which is a key and core aspect of our mandate. Strengthening and deepening stakeholder and partner relations is important. We work with and through the stakeholders, civil society, private sector, and government. Brand insight and research management. The research that we get is important in terms of formulating the messaging that we come up with. Organizational development and prudent financial management and control. This is, of course, to impact on increased international competitiveness, improve international and domestic reputation, and increase social cohesion. We find that it's important for us to have the domestic element fortified, because we cannot sell the nation brand internationally when we have not consolidated the nation brand internally. And I think later Miller will talk to some of the activities that we do in domestically. I'm going to go through some of the highlights, not in too much detail. South Africa's Competitiveness Forum was a big milestone. We launched it last year, which involved key stakeholders across all society sectors. And it's a forum that discusses the key pillars that contribute to making South Africa competitive. We had the inaugural launch last year, which was hosted by Deputy President President Kgalema Motlanthe. And we are anticipating to have a second run early next year. Of course, the passing of Dr. Nelson Mandela was a tremendous loss for the country, but it allowed us to position the country positively and disseminate a positive message focusing on Tata's legacy. Brand South Africa's presence and awareness is enhanced by some of the programs that we do. We have a program that we call Global South Africans. This is a network of South Africans who are living abroad. They become our brand ambassadors, and it's important for us to engage with those individuals because in many instances, investors would talk to them first to find out about South Africa and the perceptions that they may have and the misinformation that they may disseminate may in certain instances create a crisis for us, a reputation crisis that we have to manage. So we engage with them proactively. Our presence in the BRICS Forum and West Davos and Mining Daba also continues to highlight our visibility and awareness. Mobilization of our nation, we have the Play Your Part campaign, which is a national campaign domestically. We do it in partnership with the SABC, where we call for icons and role models within the community. So the communities will identify an individual who is doing exceptionally well in their area, be it arts and culture, be it a small business, be it a communal activity, it's cut across. So we give these individuals a platform as role models for other South Africans to emulate and to begin to play their part in forming the South Africa that we all want to see. We have your standard above the line campaign. The international ones, I've mentioned BRICS, then we have the ITI investment trade initiatives that we support by various ministries when they travel on the continent and abroad. And in many instances, they would have small businesses from across the country who are given a platform internationally to showcase their businesses and their products. We also had an Africa strategy because we believe and understand the importance of our role on the continent and consolidating and strengthening the relationship between South Africa and the continent is also another important platform for us. Domestically, we have launched the Protect Our Democracy campaign, which is going to lead up to the culmination of the 20-year milestone celebration. We have various stakeholders, as I mentioned earlier, that we work with, governments, business, civil society, and various other partnerships with the DTI, Proudly South African, where we've embarked on the South Africa Premier Business Awards. And then the next slide will give you a high-level summary of the indices and perception findings that we use to track how we are viewed both domestically and internationally. We have a national perception audit, which will indicate that about 90% of the South African population are proud to be South African. Sports is one of South Africa's highest celebrated achievements. Over 85% of the population believe that South Africa is a competitive and innovative nation. 95% of the South Africans have a sense of belonging in the country. And despite many problems, there is a strong desire to stay in the country. There are, of course, a suite of questions that we ask, but we've pulled these as those that were quite significant. For nation brand reputation, we use the Arnold Reputation Index. It's an index that covers about 50 countries, and South Africa's overall positioning is number 36 over a three-year period. This shows, of course, the stability with minor challenges here and there. Marginal core movement, the score movement upwards, is around governance and culture. So we will be viewed positively around governance and culture. We see a slight drop in the score on exports, people, and tourism, the people relations and tourism. we do anticipate, I think, in the coming year that the tourism will probably be affected given the new visa regulations. And, of course, the communication strategy, and they're working closely with the ministry, which assist us in formulating the correct message. Then we also use the WEF World Economic Forum Global Competitiveness Index, which states the country's competitiveness amongst the 144 countries. And we have been ranked to number 56, which we have dropped from 53 in 2013. There were serious challenges that put forward around labor markets, the you know, lingering issues around Mexicana were persistent and were coming through, the perception of the cost of doing business, issues around primary education and health. Those were the areas where we scored fairly low and they brought us down. But the areas of strength were securities exchange regulation, auditing standards, corporate boards, banks, financial markets development, financial services, quality of air transport infrastructure. So those are the strong areas. And what we have through the IMC, which is the Interministerial Committee, is a feedback loop to the various ministers to say, these are the areas that we have viewed strongly in, these are the areas where there are perceptions or we have viewed as weak, what are the interventions, can we formulate a communication strategy so that we disseminate a positive message about what is being done in those areas and hopefully influence the outcome of how we are viewed. These become important because investors look at these to gain confidence in markets and to invest. On the investor perceptions, we find that it's an international index done by an independent party commissioned by Brand South Africa, Project Strive. It indicates that 61% overall familiarity with South Africa, which means there's about 39% gap, but with a low overall familiarity as South Africa is a business destination. It's always perceived as a tourist destination, not as a business destination. Interestingly, we see a growing market, and economically most associated with mining and agriculture and tourism. So there is a lot that we need to do in the other areas besides mining and tourism and agriculture. If we want to boost the industrial participation, we need to promote and communicate around those areas so that we get the factories coming to set up here. And then the media reputation, of course, is just searching media reports in terms of how often South Africa has been reported on and what are the issues that have been reported on. And we saw a slight drop from 56.1 cent to about 47% of media coverage. Our biggest supporters are the BRICS countries, with the exclusion of Russia. And then Africa and Europe is hard on us. You know, on the continent we find that the perceptions are hard, and also from Europe. There's very low coverage on South Africa in the Middle East and South America. Again, the key drivers were tourism. But with the BRICS countries, we are seeing more and more business and international diplomacy coming through. I think that gives you just an overview of some of the issues, and as we engage with that, we will begin to unpack some of the details of what we do. I'll hand over to Milana.
Thank you very much,
Chair.
Interest of time, I'll just cover very quickly the activities that relate last to the process, or so to speak, our national initiatives. The chairperson has highlighted that a number of the areas we cover have to do with aligning South Africa with the brand. So we did that through a course of criteria, through various means and channels. It was advertising communications, direct engagement on the ground with players in the provinces, whether the trade investment agencies, the tourism agencies, the youth, faith-based organizations, as well as the other elements of society. So what we really want to highlight is that the program around the brand management alignment was largely on track. Our play of heart active citizenship campaign was largely also on track with a lot of work being focused upon in terms of the faith-based organizations as important drivers as well as the youth. And these were largely focused in the provinces of Gauteng, Limpopo, KwaZulu-Natal, as well as in the Eastern Cape. A lot of the programs were really predicated on the National Development Plan, copyrighting the National Development Plan, and saying how do the youth, how do communities get involved in the implementation of the plan. So couching it in the form of saying, how do you play your part in making the National Development Plan a reality? If we move on, we also have a television space research as I've been to where we work with the FACC. It was invited on Sunday. They're having us now reinvited, and we hope that we will continue with the program next year. Some of the advertising communications of the line with billboards, etc., would have been focused around specific issues, whether it was the transport market, whether it was health, or whether it was the educational issues. We would then afford the various departments in that. So this is just to highlight some of the work we did in areas such as Gauteng and the focus through those billboards, Soweto. Also, we supported the Freedom Day, Days of Significance, through advertising communications as well as through our website platforms that also link it to all the engagements that we had with the various stakeholders. As I said, we did work in KwaZulu-Natal, Western Cape, around specifically mobilizing South Africans to support the National Development Plan around 20 years of democracy, and then around specific issues which the chair has highlighted as areas of challenge, whether it's in education, in health, and so forth. The player part, we also did quite a lot of work in terms of media relations, among which is bringing media flows into the country, and for that we obviously rely on the support of provinces, so we've taken through the provinces and make sure that they're exposed to what happens in the provinces. In this regard, a large portion of the media flows we did were around largely the infrastructure build program in the country. So we have taken them to specific locations where they can actually see the projects that are being done as part of communicating the beginnings of implementation of the National Development Plan. Digital has continued to play a very critical role in this communication, as well as our social media platforms, which have grown significantly. Now, Brand South Africa has got four portals that speak to media, where media can go and download stories from the country. But there's also SouthAfrica.info, where investors can go in there and do that to get into the DTI, but also get to know about South Africa in general. And then we have the Play Your Part, a portal which is very important for the Play Your Part campaign. And lastly, Brand South Africa, a website which is really the corporate website. And what we've seen is the traffic in all those sites. As I said, social media plays a very important aspect in supporting our communication. Stakeholder engagement is a very important element for our work, where we engage directly with stakeholders. And this is really where a lot of the work in the provinces has happened. Whether it's targeting youth, targeting faith-based organizations, targeting business, as well as government. This is just really detailed some of the work that has been done there, the work we do with media, the written dialogue, this is happening in Gauteng, Eastern Cape, KwaZulu-Natal, Planala. So we are taking these dialogues to the provinces, where we want the youth to actually get involved in discussions around the national development plan. And whenever we bring them into contact with business, at least those relationships do tend to result in fruitful engagement between the youth and the businesses that are there. This brings me to the international engagement. Suffice to say, Chairperson, that our delivery on our international program, which has been explained by the Chairperson, has been on track, except for just two markets, which I'll highlight, that is Arab Emirates as well as Egypt, where we consciously took a decision in Egypt because of the conflict not to go and expend money there. And in the UAE, of course, we appointed a regional manager responsible for Africa and the Middle East kind of in the middle of the year. So only a portion of that program was delivered. So I think rather than go through the international initiatives, I'll really skip and go skip each of the country reports and go straight to I'll also skip the financial and talk about the overall analysis. As the Chairperson said, our overall performance is 86% of our deliverables. If you include technical, it's 80%. Technical are those initiatives and opportunities that present themselves that might not have been in the business plan, but which if we consider, we believe that there will be good for position in South Africa, and then we will make the decision to take on those initiatives. So there's a couple of initiatives that we do that affect us. You will see that we highlighted three areas, which is Egypt, as well as UAE, as well as the other indicator, sustainable organization. Really, the issue is that our target has been to achieve a clean audit, but as the minister highlighted, we achieved an unqualified audit. And the reason for that was really that there were the statements relating to accruals. And again, that has to do with the fact that we did not have the staff because we were going through a restructuring process where the board approved that we can use the procurement units. So we're in the process of setting up these units, and that's why we have some of the challenges. But life in terms of what's delivering, we are able to achieve a large part of what we set up for us to achieve in our system. These are about just the technical opportunities that we did throughout the year. And I think what we'd like to highlight is always the issue that the gap between the organization with mandate and the resources that it has at its disposal, which is something that we are looking at as a sustainability. And with your advantage, I think I perhaps just move on then to what we see as looking ahead. These are some of the elements that we are looking ahead to implement. But something that is quite relevant for the province that we need to highlight is the fact that the program on alignment is a very important one. You know that there is an approved determination on how we go out of the country and go and market, and the fact that we have a common look and feel. We're finding that we're making progress as far as this is concerned, but that problem is with a challenge that we'd like to work with and make sure that this works very well. Lastly, we are going through a process with the minister and the ministry to develop country messaging for the country. And we believe that's an area where we really need to work with the province, because a lot of the product, a lot of the effort that we communicate sits with the province. And that's where we see areas for greater collaboration as we move forward.
Thank you. through very quickly our mandate in terms of what we achieved last year. Our mandate is to regulate the broadcasting public interest and ensure fairness and diversity of views broadly representing South Africa as required under Section 192 of our Constitution. We also do a lot of regulation of electronic communication, which means cell phones, which means ship to shore, radio systems for safety. It will mean the safety mechanisms that you have in the mind that you, anything that uses radio frequency spectrum. We're also involved in the protection of consumers, both at a national and at a regional level, and we are involved in the enforcement and monitoring of compliance for any rights that we give to either a licensee, such as Telkom, Vodacom, or protecting consumers in terms of specified timelines to manage consumer complaints. Our vision is to advance the building of a digital society, and our mission is to ensure that all South Africans have access to a wide range of high-quality communication services at affordable prices. This is in line with the mission, the vision and mission of the broadband policy of South Africa, if they connect. In terms of operational highlights for the 2013-14 financial year, we received our second unqualified audit for ICASA in a row, which is a record for ICASA. And we have improved our organizational performance in terms of making sure that our forms information is found to be reliable and useful, particularly to stakeholders. And we are also managing to improve our performance timelines based on revised standard operating procedures of the new authority. And that is leading to better organizational performance going forward. In terms of regulatory highlights, how did we impact the sector last year? We issued 3 radio licenses for radio stations. These are radio licenses that are commercial, that have a large geographic market. 2 secondary markets, 1 in Bloemfontein, 1 in Umtata. 3 primary markets, 2 in Gauteng, 1 in Western Cape. And 5 subscription TV licenses. An important factor for the authority is that we change the termination rates, which is the fees that operators charge each other for carrying call from me to you. In 2010, we brought in regulations. Last year, we had to revise it, and we're bringing it down from a max of 1 rand 25 in 2009 to 13 cents in 2017. And we have also improved our approach to consumer protection, both by increased visibility in the regional areas in various provinces, as well as an improved success rate. And I can report today that we had previously set ourselves a target of reaching resolving 55% of consumer complaints. Each quarter we resolved 84% the most recent quarter. So our changes are bringing fruit, bearing fruit to everybody. In terms of reporting, we have 4 regulatory arms. One is called licensing and compliance, another is called markets and competition, another one is consumer protection, the final is engineering and technology, and I'll just report very briefly on our progress made under those 4 arms. In terms of licensing and compliance, by virtue of its name, everything we do, we impose terms and conditions on licensees. One major goal of the authority is to introduce new regulations governing HDI and broad-based economic empowerment into the ICT sector, where at current we are not even achieving the broad-based economic empowerment codes as per sector charter set by the Department of Trade and Industry. So last year we began the groundwork of collecting the information of all licensees in the sector. This is a mammoth task because there are 796 licensees licensed, but they are scattered all over the country, so trying to go and find these companies, see if they are still operational, getting that ownership information from licensees is a challenge. We managed to do significant groundwork for that last year, and we're going to be coming out with draft regulations on broad-based economic empowerment and ownership requirements this year. We, as I mentioned, mentioned earlier, we issued individual licenses, and these are the licenses that are commercial. They allow people to make profit out of advertising. To subscription broadcasting, as television broadcasting, as well as radio broadcasting licenses. In terms of a summary, we do a lot of operational work. For example, every licensee has to renew their license every year so that we know that they are operational, so that if they're not operational, we can take back the radio frequency that they have signed and give it to somebody else for a new opportunity, a new entrant, either at a community level, a commercial level, or even at a public service level. So in terms of community licensees, just to let this committee know, we have over 250 community-based radio stations operating today. We have five community television broadcasting licensees, and there is a restriction on the number of television broadcasting licensees we can have in operation until we've concluded the analog to digital broadcasting migration spectrum. In terms of engineering and technology, this is where if you use radio frequency, you come to IPASA and you apply for radio frequency, as well as coming to IPASA to get what is called a type approval certificate. The type approval certificate tells the country that the device you and I use, such as cell phones, are safe. Every device issues electromagnetic frequencies. There are global standards that are set down by the ITU. Framework for issuing these licenses is guided by international treaties and guided by decisions that the World Health Organization makes, determinations made by the Department of Health. And in terms of last year, we issued 2,710 new type approval certificates. We have 3,654 applications for spectrum, and we issued 37 spectrum assignments, particularly for radio licenses. In terms of market and competition, whose goal here is to make the market work, in other words, effectively increase competition so that consumers can benefit from price competition. We brought down mobile termination rates. I'm sure everybody in this room is aware of the court challenge where the mobile operators kicked out this court in March this year, where we have put forward a proposed termination rate of 10 cents by 2017. They just support. Our regulations were declared invalid and unlawful, but the judge did rule that termination rates have to come down anyway. We subsequently did our work. The court gave us 6 months to review the calculations, and we've come up with our final regulations where the final termination rate, the mobile operators in charge, would be 13 cents rather than 10 cents. So, we made a slight error. Another factor that we do consider is because the South African Post Office does report to ICASA as well. We govern the amount of the retail price that they're allowed to charge for basic postal services, such as how much does a stamp cost, how much does a basic courier service cost for everything that's less than 1 kilogram. And the manner in which we protect consumers' interests here is to make sure that average annual increases are affordable, particularly for the universal, those people affected in the rural areas, because that is the primary tool that people in rural areas have to connect with the greater South Africa and the broader rest of the world. And that is, we limited their price increase to 5% for this year, despite all their operational concerns, because we have to protect the consumer's interest too. We do monitor the electronic communications retail tariffs. I'm sure everybody here experiences a lot of promotional activity. You can buy this bundle and that bundle, but it expires. We have noticed that retail prices have come down significantly. For example, in 2005, a per minute cost of a call was R3.20. It is now 79 cents if you look at the MTN package. But it's a lot lower than that. If you were to benefit from promotions, the cost of a call now is between 50 and 55 cents per minute. However, that is through promotions, so it's not necessarily 100% understood by the public. So this year we are engaging in a price transparency project. We're working with the Fukushima and Fez, and this is where our impact is felt most across the country, in managing the complaints that we receive. We have two specific regulations. One is called the End Use Subscriber Service Charter Regulation, setting standards as to how long it takes people to resolve complaints. And another is called the Code of Conduct for People with Disabilities. These are regulations that govern the devices that operators must make available to those people with disabilities. So, for example, if you are blind or vision impaired, bigger devices with bigger buttons. If you've got a cell phone, it has to be bigger, the screen has to be better, easier to view the needs of the end user. And we also, in this case, we also launched what we call the Disability Consultative Forum, so that we are better in touch with the needs of people with disabilities. Prior to this, the ASI would only engage with persons with disabilities once every year or two. Now, we engage with them every quarter. The Disability Consultative Forum now provides advice to CASA every quarter on what regulatory measures we should take. In terms of complaints that we managed, we received 120 complaints for broadcasting. 80 were resolved in the previous financial year. In terms of electronic communications, which means the mobile phones and your internet services, we received 1,981. We resolved 1,303 and we carried over 678. It's a large number. One of these reasons is we are busy resolving the overlap between the National Consumer Commission and ICASA. In terms of the Consumer Protection Act, things like handsets, you know, goods are governed by the Consumer Protection Act, not governed by ICASA. So we have a relationship with the National Consumer Commission such that when people lodge a complaint with ICASA, we forward it to the National Consumer Commission, but we don't take it off our books until the consumer has been satisfied. Personal services, we received 31 consumer complaints, we resolved 19, carried over 16. It is a challenge for the authority to adequately track down postal items. We are installing electronic monitoring equipment this financial year, so that it will allow us to do that more effectively going forward. We have regional offices. At the moment we have 5, and we have planned to extend this to 9 regional offices so that ICASA will be present in each province of South Africa. Their core responsibility is in enforcement, where we seize equipment, radio apparatus, for those people who are operating radio frequency without a license. For example, you get people who buy equipment, turn on a radio station, for example, they don't have a license to do that. They will set up an internet service provider on a frequency that interferes with the safety equipment of a mine. In addition, you can imagine the challenges that you have for that. And something that is very important in terms of our ad hoc national role, we participate in any national events to ensure that there's no radio frequency interference with events or space. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I'd like also to thank the presenters, including the Honorable Minister. Let me just start with the report, the annual report. It's called midterm report. And my worry is that according to the NPOP program, that the section that deals with the Select Committee on Communication and the Public Enterprise, it says that we should be having a briefing at the committee for the 2013-2014 year. But I see now the midterm report only speaks to 2014-2015. I think I'm not sure what the letter that went to the department said, but what I read from the NPOP program talks about 2013-2014. My worry is that if we do not deal with 2013-2014, I know there's a new department, but the programs that the new department is now dealing with are the programs that have been there even when the department was still including postal services and other services that are now the telecommunication and postal services. My worry is that we're not going to be able to override those program for 2014-2015. So I wanted to raise that on our consideration first. Secondly, with also the midterm, I wish that we could just have a report, but then the report be presented in detail. Not this treasury template, because it has been there as is the members. We could have the template, but also we should have a report. For instance, if a report talks about the template itself, only people that are in the department would be able to know. If, for instance, the report says percentage of approved campaigns, you know, what does that mean then to the select committee members? It just gives you the numbers of those campaigns that have been implemented. You don't even know what those campaigns are all about. So the point I'm trying to make that don't only give us that template in terms of report, but we should also have a report that now give us specific with regard to the issues that you are reporting about. Not just the indicators and whether you achieve the target or not, but tell us the program itself. This is a particular program. This program is about this. What are the highlights with regard to that program in terms of highlights? What are the challenges with regard to that particular program? So if we could have a report here in that form. If it were the annual report, I would even suggest that we must still have the annual report. But then we must have the PowerPoint presentation with the details that talks to the annual report. That's the first point I wanted to raise on the chairperson. Then I'll be general in terms of I'm not really able to speak to pick up which NDC I will be referring to a specific program. I've not been able to just wrote the person without necessarily writing which the institution or NDC is reporting on. One is the issue of Fools and Bells newsletter. Last time I raised it when the both departments were here to present the postal services and telecommunication as well as the new department represented by the deputy minister. I indicated that I only knew about Fools and Bells the first time when I was first here in Parliament. I wanted to check if there are any mechanism on the part of the department in terms of conducting a survey with regard to its distribution, particularly in rural areas, where the people are really actually are getting it's coming to them, the books and them. And also perhaps the feedback from the community with regard to that particular newsletter. That goes also with regard to other the public sector that is, I think, is targeting the public sector. If we could also have a survey and also the feedback from the public sector about those matters. You know. With regard to SABCs, I'm happy that the presentation was about provinces. But what is disappointing is that not all the provinces are covered. If even those that are covered other than Gauteng. But let me make an example about the organization that also belongs to that had a congress this weekend in the Eastern Cape, the South African Communist Party. They were packed out. I know the leader has not complained about the event that took place in Devon, but the LADC tried then to explain why they could not cover the Red October launch. But I don't know what the reason now why the South African Communist Party Congress was not covered in the Eastern Cape. That includes even radio, not just television. So I just want that to be noted as it. You know, when I first started by the TV, it was in the 80s.
Sure.
They were, I was working at that. There were programs that also, even though there were no provinces like we have now, but at least there were regional programs. You will have the national news, but also you will have a regional news. Program that focuses on regional, so that you are able to know what is happening in KwaZulu-Natal, what is happening in Mpumalanga, what is happening. Other than that, the national news, but there should be a regional focus in terms of the news that occur. On ICASA, I just wanted to check whether ICASA also regulate private TV like the DSTV. Well, the reason I'm raising this point is that you're doing a good job with regard to cell phones in terms of reducing the rate. But also, I wish you could do the same with regard to, you know, DSTV, for example. But also regulate the choice that people make in terms of the packages. Because sometimes you are caught in terms of the package. If you don't buy the total one, even there are programs that I've never watched on PSTV, but I pay for. Because there are no mechanisms so that people have choice of the program that they want to watch. But I don't know if the ICASA has a role to play with regards to that. First, with regards to the amount that people are paying for those services, and also the choice that people should be making in terms of buying programs that they would like to watch. On the issue of I don't know if there's any collaboration with the SAA, for example. Now, SAA would have these videos that someone would show us when we're on the plane. I wish that you could utilize, those, maybe make an arrangement with the SAA, so that as the passengers are sitting there, they are able to watch your mandate in particular of promoting South Africa, especially those long-haul flights, rather than, normally they just play those things that make us, those jokes that make us laugh. But also utilize the Sabona magazine to promote this. I don't know if there is any collaboration with the SAP. I didn't get that in the presentation. I'm coming to SAPC. There's a channel 404. Is it a permanent arrangement? Is it a temporary arrangement? The reason I'm asking is that a lot of news that are taking place on a particular channel, and most of our people do not have access to DSTV, so that they have access to a particular channel, which is 404. If we could get a response with regard to that. Let me go now and give other members a chance. I'll come back if you will allow me for my perception.
I also want to thank all the entities and the department and all the presentation. My question is, I tried to write questions as I was at the presentation was happening, and there seem to be quite a number of them chatted, and I don't know if, The first question has to do with the, because the minister was presenting to us, the introduction of the new department and what they have meant. My question was, just to find
it cost anything, and if the government, if the government instead of doing this restructuring would support entities within the department, such as the MDDA, I heard that they were constrained when the MDDA had this presenting.
I know in the reform it might be very short of maybe us in writing. I don't know if you are going to do this. So I'm going to allow you to ask a question. If there is time, they can respond shortly on each of entities on a short, you know, a reply. But the other question is in writing, to the format into the room. I don't know if it's allowed.
I propose that we get an opportunity for just maybe two, instead of asking 15, then that can really assist us.
Yes. And can we do that? And then the other question that you gave, maybe you can send it in writing to the department. Thank you.
I don't ask this one.
just checking on the issue of ownership, control, and access to information by a community. Page 8. How do you classify this information written here? Can that be detected for us as members of the community? Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Member Paki, Honorable Member Nambi, and even Honorable Member Kim.
Thank you. I have paper question. So, but in view of time, I won't ask any of my questions. I'll just make some two proposals. The first one is to appreciate the presentation that we made today and indicate that to all the entities that were making the presentation, I'll raise one issue that is critical, that is a problem, that has been a problem for some time, all the entities must know that the drafters of the constitution in South Africa, it was not a mistake to have two houses. Parliament is not national assembly and it's not national council of provinces. In terms of the constitution, parliament is referring to both houses. National assembly is not parliament. National council of provinces alone is not parliament. If you talk of parliament, we're talking about the two houses. So whatever that is happening in these entities, it will always assist us to minimize problems, because in the absence of information and knowledge, sometimes perceptions become reality. So whenever you have whatever, whether it's a conference or whatever, the invitation must go to both houses. By being privileged to be part of presidium in parliament, sometimes you get an invitation that is being directed to a portfolio committee. And we are sitting there and we have got a chairperson of this very same important select committee that is not considered. So it's taking problems. That's the last one. The last one, chairperson, is for you, minister, and all the entities that are here. There is no way that as a select committee we are going to be able to do each justice and assist and do effective oversight if are not being assisted. So I've got a strong proposal that we've seen with a public enterprise. They will always, every year, take all their committees to a session so that you can understand what I'm going to be doing oversight on. So whether you talk of SABC, you talk of Film Board Publication, MTDA, they are doing something that is great, but there is no way that we are going to be able to do it justice. I'm not joking if I'm saying I've got the evaluations. I'm not joking. I really mean it. But how are we going to be efficient and be able to do effective oversight if ever the president, when he started his term, was very clear that this is going to be business as unusual. I don't want to be part of the compliance. To come here just because we are rushing time and say, you know, in view of time, then let's write questions. When I'm writing questions, what do you call that? If it's part of continuation of this select committee meeting, what do you call that? Because I'm entitled as a member of parliament, if I want to write a question to the minister at any day, any time, whether it's oral reply or I want it in black and white, I can do that. There's nothing that is stopping a member of parliament from doing that. But if you want to do oversight and come to meetings and engage and assist each other, because our view as parliament, as was said by president, if we are asking questions, we are here about our role. We are not asking questions because we want to embarrass people or we want to create headline news. But we want to assist government after 20 years of democracy to make sure that we are asking the country to move forward. So my proposal, Minister, is to make sure that organize that session where all of us will be in that forum. We are not rushing 2 hours an hour. We understand what it is that we are doing oversight on. If I go to Ngomazi in Mpumalanga and I see a community radio station that is doing very fine but has got some changes and there is MDDA, where do I go? How do I deal with that? And if you have a radio station in Mpumalanga that is doing exceptionally well and you've got the one in Limpopo that has got challenges, then I come here and generalize because of the one in Limpopo and say, no, all of them are the same. You can't do that. So my proposal is that let's have that station. And it will at least it will minimize these problems. And my 35 questions on that day, before SABC is not going to do a slide of
the one that is here. They are going to be very detailed. And my 35 questions will end up being 4. So that's my submission, Chairman.
Thank you,
Honorable
Miami. Thank
you, Chair. I too am taking the lead from Honorable Miami. There are many that are asking a question, but I think that the important thing the minister is here today, and she could see the chance for the committee is experiencing with this kind of reporting in the 3 hours that we're not having the documentation in time. I think that this kind of reporting will require a day and a workshop, not 3 hours where we don't have time to ask questions and you're not able to answer them. But I think the Honourable Member Nambi's suggestion that I support.
Thank you, Chair. I'm also not going to ask all the questions that I've done. I think that's very important for me. You know, you were supposed to be there. the department does a breakdown of what's going on provincial level, but I would like for this committee, if we look at the annual report or the midterm report that we're looking at now, for the department to give us a breakdown in various programs on provincial level coupled to the budget. Say, for instance, the breakdown of the provinces and how are you going to do the equitable distribution that we thought with regards to allocations. How is that going to be done? That is the one thing, and the reason I ask is, and I would also like to ask, do you have a sound debt collection strategy, and what happened to the 6.6 million rand that you asked the Department of Treasury in order to see the present data of the although that was not presented, but I read it. I would like to feedback on that, as well as I just want to ask the Fund and the Publication Board to give us a little bit more information on, you see that you received a grant this year, a little bit more around about, I will be asked in there, 17.8 million grant that you received, the grant is 17.8 million grand more than previous year. Then you said your service this year was 5.4 million grand more. My question is, was it, did you take those two things in consideration? Was that surplus? Did you receive the grant or was it separate? Break that down, otherwise it's very confusing for us to understand. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honourable Member. I think I'm going to allow the Honourable Minister to respond and allow to department to respond to those few questions. Please.
Thank you. On the concern that men are going to have a fully functional department, especially when I spoke to the Honourable Member was not here because I tried to explain the thing. And then also to say, I think what, based on what Honourable saying and Honourable Nyambi has said with regard to the motion, I think that is key. Because this is what was supposed to happen, even as I was coming to this kind of a forum. I've seen different issues at Chairperson earlier. I'm going to propose a date with the select committee so that we take you through the mandate of the various entities. So that's that we had an agreement in principle. That's the idea that we wanted to come and send today to the committee. And then that will also address all these issues that we are having the concern besides the limitation, because now we just bombarding with information. Again, the issue of documents, I think I've unconditionally apologized on that matter. This will never recur. That year, Matali will refer to the chair. I can assure you, it will never happen again. But also, I think basically there are specific questions to bring the script and documentation work that you can quickly, and then they visit and can quickly report to.
Thank you very much. I'm just going to answer two questions. Honourable Member, yes, on the issue you raised about Bogosan Ven, we did even in the last presentation to say that we only distribute about 1.7 million copies out of 53 million population.
So therefore, our numbers are quite small. We don't reach every corner. We don't even intend to reach every corner. We can't be able to reach every corner of 1.7 million copies. We do conduct research. We do follow the distribution and to know to the readers, because for us to conduct research, we must go with the distributors, because you can't just ask every person on the road when you have not even given them a copy. And the feedback that we have received, I'm quite happy with it. In fact, we have cases where people, where we have seen our distributors, which is a knock and drop, where somebody, when they walk on the street and somebody approaches them and they hassle them and say, give me the newspaper, our mandate is put one per house. And that person says, give me a newspaper, and the distributor refuses, and it becomes a hassle. Which ultimately led to a police case where the person has to say, I've been assaulted by an official. So there is high demand. We are aware of it. Unfortunately, we don't have enough budget. And the public sector magazine itself, yes, we do conduct research on all the products that we produce actually, as a principle. That over a period of time, we must go and follow up and make sure that the information that we write actually comes back. And we do have some research that has come back to say to us that this is very interesting information. We are not aware, because such a, we work in such a department, we're responsible for this. We didn't know that this is happening in other departments. So I wanted to respond to that, to those particular issues in particular.
Yes.
Yes.
From Press of Assets perspective, we do have a sending video in a flight, but however, we don't know they are actually. Sometimes we see it, sometimes we don't, but it is a kind of a sending slot that we have with the FAA. But I guess it's the way that they do their scheduling and how often they place it. Sabona magazine, we have been in discussion with them to also have a sending page in the Sabona. We have done a few stories over time, but we have now requested a sending page in the Sabona, and I think we will soon be finalizing that. And we are also thinking of having just a Z card or an information card, especially for the international flights. The rating agencies, Mela, you will support me here. Yes, we do. We can quantify. Well, and it's a process that we don't have influence over. We can't control it. But we can see the impact of it in the number of articles and the perceptions that are coming through in those articles. And of course, over a period of time, we will know how we have been rated in the indices that we track. I don't know if that satisfies you. Yes, okay, great. Thank you. We welcome further input.
Yeah,
I
Chairperson, the question regarding effectively choice and tax transparency is something that we are working on this year. We have prioritized prepaid voice mobile tariffs because of the significant volume of people who use that first, and we will be moving into the broadcasting space next year. We will consider what's raised today to see if it can be included in this year's work.
Okay, so from the FPP side, the surplus was as a result of the 8 million that we were granted by additional treasury to look specifically at online content regulation. For the previous financial year, we have been embarked on the process of reviewing our legislation so that it reflects also the changes brought by technology. And that delayed us in terms of, amongst others, the development of the online content regulation strategy, which was only approved now. So part of that 8 million was used in terms of that work. So and as a result, at the end of the financial year, we could not have committed the entire 8 million because there were still issues and other work that we are doing around the area of online content regulation.
Honourable Chair, let me first apologise to you and to the honourable members and to the business present. I had a hiccup this morning, hence I was late. Honourable Chair, we've taken into account all questions raised and will appreciate to go deeper into the questions, whether by writing or we could have a workshop where we could be detailed with a presentation. But just an overview of exactly what is an industry for which we are very passionate to sell at all levels. Our 24-hour channel is a permanent channel. So it is there, we're trying to build up, you know, the content on the 24 channel and improve on the areas where complaints have been leveled around the, you know, the same air, and so on and so on. We are working on it. On the issue of the Eastern Cape Communist Party, what is perceived to be a sabotage, we would like to share with you that we are experiencing some problems in terms of the cuts, which we are very, very concerned, and we are following up on the cuts every day. It's not only the cuts from the radio side, but it's also cuts from the television side. And we apologize to Communist Party, and I think the meeting ensued where the matter was discussed in detail. But we are going through the draft page and we're taking disciplinary action accordingly on those respective departments that are responsible for monitoring that we do not have the hub. On issues of the partnership or the relationship between the regional and the provinces, we do want to give space to community radio and the limitation on the what news could be accepted at a newsroom. It's also something that we'd like to give a full presentation, which we gave to the chair of the committee of chairs. We gave a presentation on how news happen and how do you balance the languages and so on and so on. I think we will take that as priority in the presentation we'll make. But the rest of the questions, Chairperson, will be honored to invite members to come in and visit. Even the new prospective rollout of the GTT, our state of readiness in terms of what will happen so that the committee is appraised on the new developments in ABC. But not only that, we will welcome a bigger session where we can have enough time as our minister has alluded to. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you. You want to make a follow-up?
No, it's not a follow-up. It's just an advice, because the GADA, which the Honourable our part of it, we didn't take it kind. Now, the advice is let it be professional enough. They are letting apology to the Communist Party.
Me? Thank you.
I thought I would read it because the chairperson has read it. The issue of interacting and doing presentation to the chair is part of what I was reading, but once you do it in the NA, then you don't start. So it has not yet begun with the chairpersons of all the senior committees in the National Council of Provinces. So I'm still looking forward to that engagement where all the chairpersons will be invited. Thank you.
Maybe
one,
did you
feel
honorable?
Thank you very much, Chair and Honourable Members and Minister. I think that I just need to explain 404, the reason why we have 404. We have 404 because when we switch for DTT, that channel is a pilot project in that channel. It is an SABC channel. When we switch on for DTT, it will be on our platform. But also what is important is we will not leave one channel to dominate news in that platform, the multi-voice. We had to make sure that we also compete as a public broadcaster. Because some people, especially in Africa, remember that channel, you can find it in SADC. People were complaining about SABC to say, why can't we see SABC? That was the purpose. But coming to the issue of coverage, I think the Honorable Member, I think you are aware that the issue that you are raising, the provincial coverage is important. The SACP issue, I think, is the issue of provincial coverage, which we have been saying at the SABC at our strategic workshop to say, look, let us have national news and provincial coverage. When we do that, we'll be able to cover all people. I'm not saying we'll do 100%, but we'll be able to cover SACP in the Eastern Cape or in Mpumalanga, I'm just giving you an example, we need to bring back such news, which we are going to do. We have already taken a decision. But I think what is important for us at SABC, the acting GCO talk about us as educating. That is the issue that we need to focus on. Are we educating? Honorable member was talking about when people report about parliament and NCOP, actually people believe that if you go to NCOP, you are dead. This is a fact.
Yeah.
They think that you are dead, you know, they have just changed you away. For me, what I've been saying to people is, part of SABC is, let us educate people about these two spheres of government, so that we educate them, they do understand exactly what we mean, what is the difference between the two. Because that's what we have been seeing, talking about, and I have realized that there is a lack of educational about this outreach. So that is what we have been talking about at SABC, and we have put that strategy in place. And I can confirm here, to say we have asked the person who is responsible for provinces and stakeholder to make sure that we have someone who works in this house permanently, so like we have other people who are working for another house. We have done that. It's just implementation that we need to speed up that implementation. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I think thank you, Honorable Chair. There was a question why the SBC didn't present its financials. I did just briefly touch on it. Did very, very briefly, and I think it's also a consequence of the two houses that we just spoke about. So we are quite happy to provide our financial presentation that we made last week to this house and make it available. But I did touch on briefly on the financial situation of that.
Thank you. I just want to say, is there any other input? I just want to say thank you, Minister, that you really make it a special effort to come to the meeting and cooking with our own. You really do appreciate it. And you are taking the select committee to the NCOP. We are not here to come. We are not there. You can look forward to robust engagement. And you will be surprised. We are going to be, this morning, I'm telling you, you can be so glad that this members are not taking you away, like they did. That's how far we will go to show you people that we are not playing in this. You had that kind of protection in the past. We are employed here, and we were instructed to play our oversight role. And that I can assure you we will do. And if you want, and if you start seeing us as sleeping, we will show you how we can fight. We are there. I just want to say that, like I was saying, we are going to have robust engagement. We are going to make sure that you deliver on your mandate and give us as a stakeholder value for the money that we will get. We are meaning business. We want to see that the matters there, you know, where the matters are, in a way. They must really sort them out now for once and for all, because we are sick and tired of reading all the negative news in the papers. We must turn the entities around, because the South African people out there, you need to account to them as well, because they are rich players, tax players. And we must keep them really value for money also. yeah, I want to say, I also want to say, I think it was in order to congratulate you on the achievements of the audit outcomes. Like I'm saying, it is good to hear this time. It shows us that it's not only the bad things that is that one are reading in the paper, all the good things happening in the and we really appreciate it. By that, I want to say thank you once again for coming. Look forward to the workshop. We did this coming this morning with the minister, and we think we need more time. And the minister was saying she's going to make sure that we are going to meet before the end of the day. And minister, thank you, over to you for your closing remarks. Thank you.
Thank you, Jay. And thank you for the message for sitting up after the time. I'm saying that I like here to us because I expected to be sure that we were killing them all. But I think, yeah, it will never happen in the future. And then I think what is really crucial and important, all the entities now, they have learned something, that there are two of the departments in the NCA and the SCOP. So, based on the inputs and the comments, I think it helps us to go back and prepare more thoroughly for the workshop. Because we still await those questions from members. I think they can be directed to us so that we are able to prepare and give a prepare so that when we come to the workshop, we are all ready. But one would say, this thing is robust, it is that to please. To all of us, it's also an eye opener. That the fulfilling competence, the select quality, means business. And then I think it's your responsibility to hold us accountable as the secretary. And one would like to give you that space and definitely hold us accountable by us giving you information in time and also by us equipping with all the resources that you need for you to be able to do your work. I think on behalf of the team, the EOC team, this is a very good team. We are looking forward to this full in a relationship with you. And then thanks so much for giving us the opportunity to present what we think is present.